There's an old joke that ministers sometimes tell, maybe mostly to themselves, I don't know. I'm telling it to you this morning. But it goes, I have two sermons. One is about sex, and the other is about money. Which one would you like to hear? Well, last week, we talked a little bit about sex, so you can guess what this morning's is a little... And so if you were paying attention last week to the gospel lesson and to the sermon, you'll recall that we did touch in on that topic of sex. And if you were paying attention as Adam read this morning, you know that the gospel lesson deals with the rich man. And therefore, we're talking a little bit about money this morning. Last week, I began the sermon with the question, my adult child is getting a divorce. Are they going to hell? Well, today's gospel passage brings a similar question. It goes, I haven't sold all my possessions and donated the money to the poor. Am I going to heaven? Am I going to get into heaven? So today we're going to talk about money and material possessions, the consumer society, and maybe a little more. We're going to try to figure out if Jesus was only talking to the rich young man. Matthew calls him a young man. Mark just says rich man. And therefore, if he's only talking to this one man, do those words apply for us, to us? And that's a rationale that's sometimes used for this passage. Does Jesus end up providing us with a, you know, get out of... giving up everything card, which means that this passage probably doesn't even matter if that's the case. So let's start with the man. We know he's rich because Mark tells us that he is rich. We don't know how rich he is. We don't know how he acquired his wealth, only that he is rich. We also know that he has studied the law. He tells Jesus that since he was young, he has studied the Ten Commandments. And we know that he had a difficult time with what Jesus said to him about his wealth, that he had to sell everything and give the money to the poor. And I think everyone in this room would have the same look of gloom and experience the same sadness if Jesus showed up here in the flesh and said those specific words directly to you. Jesus asks the young man about the Ten Commandments. And one of those is, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, friends, to some, money is a god. At the very least, it is worshipped and it is coveted. And we've all been there, you and me. Which brings us to one of the points I mentioned earlier. Do we need to pay attention to this passage, or is this just advice that Jesus is giving to this one particular man at this one particular time, and the rest of us can ignore it? I mean, if so, then we're all okay. Unfortunately, I think that what's being said in this passage does apply to us. That there is a lesson here for us. And it should be challenging and it should reorient our world view. And then Jesus says to the man, you need only one thing. Other translations use the word lack. You lack one thing. I mean, imagine that. This rich man, with all his wealth, with all his possessions, lacks one thing. And then the instruction comes to sell everything and give to the poor. In her commentary on this passage, Carolyn Lewis reframes this dialogue and these questions. And she asks, what do we lack? And then takes it one step further and says, rather than the one thing we lack, what are we lacking? What are we lacking? And I'll give you a clue. There are four things that Jesus says in this passage to the rich young man. Jesus saw the man. He looked straight at him, is what the good news says. How often do we turn a blind eye to the poor? Have you noticed the extra people over the summer sleeping on benches in Coburg? Right outside the police station, as one op-ed in one of our new local papers indicated. Do you think that when Transition House reopens tomorrow, that these people will magically disappear? Are you aware of the shortages of affordable housing within our community, or are you content in your own security? After seeing the man, we read that Jesus loved him. He saw him and loved him. Jesus felt compassion for the rich man, saw him as a human being, as an individual who has troubles. Jesus knew that he would be deeply distressed by the words that he spoke next. Jesus offers compassion. And then after telling the man to sell everything and give to the poor, he says, "Then come and follow me." Come and follow. Look, love, come, follow. Those are the four things. Not one thing, four things the man was lacking. Further, the man, through those four things, lacks a way of looking at the world. He lacks a state of being. He lacks a relationship with Jesus Christ. But he is also lacking in those other four areas. Look, love, come, follow. These are four things that require us to look beyond ourselves and consider the other, our neighbor. The truest treasure is not in the wealth you store up for yourself, but in how that wealth informs your decision-making about others who have less. The people who might so desperately seek the wealth that you possess. What Jesus is saying is that the priorities of the rich man are out of whack. He has been unable to look beyond his own accumulation of wealth, and he has missed everything else. This is not a lesson that wealth is inherently bad and that you should sell everything and give money to the poor. It is a lesson that wealth without commitment, without an anchor, may pull you away from a relationship that God wants you to have with Jesus Christ. Wealth without loving others is an absence of empathy, and it can lead to fear. And there is far, far too much fear in the world today already. What we so often fail to see in our consumerist society is that economic justice is part of God's kingdom. It is part of God's righteousness. In his book, God the Economist, Douglas Meeks writes, "In the biblical traditions, it becomes clear over and over again that the crucial issue is not how many goods or how much wealth is present, but whether the righteousness of God is present. This is so because the righteousness of God destroys artificial scarcity. The righteousness of God brings manna in the wilderness. There is enough. The righteousness of God creates justice, which enables 5,000 people to share 5 loaves and 2 fish. There is enough. If the righteousness of God is not present, then poverty is hell and people are subjected to death. In that case, some people are poor because others are rich. The heart of God's economy is found in God's own self-giving, which produces abundance for life." The kingdom of this world says that wealth is good. It encourages you to accumulate it. But most of us will never truly know it. The kingdom of this world protects those who have wealth. The kingdom of this world establishes and maintains and protects the status quo, because that protects the systems which create and protect wealth. But it is not the kingdom of this world that we are called to follow. We are called to follow the kingdom of God, which says that the last shall be first. When Jesus says, "Sell all your possessions," what we should hear is that other line, "Take up your cross." Get busy with the work of the kingdom. Use the wealth you've been given to make a difference in the lives of those around you. This, I believe, is the message of this passage. And I pray that we, as a community of faith, have the wisdom to see it through. Thanks be to God. Amen.